Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm ready to visit your hometown, Amy. Maybe virtually. Next year? Yeah, virtually. Maybe next year when the vaccines are readily available for everyone.
The cardboard hometown.
Listen, you won't believe it. This was my favorite hometown date episode we have covered. And I think it's because we stayed in one spot. I was thrilled. I liked this episode. I thought it was great.
I did too. I thought they did the best they could with the situation. It was better that we didn't have Zoom calls, and they really made the most of it. I was more excited about the Tuesday night episode than the Monday night episode. So I really liked the creativity and kind of making it seem at least like the guys planned it a little more than maybe they usually do.
Do you think we can cover Monday night's episode in less than 15 minutes?
The challenge has been set.
Okay, so it is currently 9:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Can we just talk about
done by 9:26?
I think I would spend the whole 15 minutes talking about how I liked Riley on the Mental All and... like, I'm now standing Riley more than before. And anyone that was just, like, telling off Yosef, that was probably my favorite part of Monday night's episode. But we did have actual dates and eliminations to get through. Believe it or not, we had, was it 8 people at the start of this one?
And we were curious as to how we were getting down. I think we got down in a sensical and sensible way. So we start off with Blake's one-on-one date. First time he's getting a one-on-one date. They're doing some chakras, some tantric breathing, which we have seen some tantric breathing before. Would I participate in that activity? I would get my chakras read. That would be interesting.
I'd grab a crystal out of a bag.
I do not wish to sit on somebody's lap and breathe directly into their face. It's not really my thing, but kudos to Blake for giving it a shot.
And kudos to him for acting like he had a shot in this date.
Yeah, good on him. Like, suspending the disbelief for all of us. Did you expect for Blake to make it out of this date alive?
Definitely not. He even said, I mean, he was acting pretty confident that he could turn things around, but he basically said, I have to eliminate someone, meaning there were four guys there that already had one-on-ones. So at that point, that kind of shows who she likes more. She's already given them a one-on-one. This is like do or die at the end. You're not knocking out Brendan or Ivan or Zach at this point.
Was this Blake's best episode?
There's a lot of positive reaction to him. I was shocked that Tayshia had such a strong reaction letting him go. I think there's maybe it was a lot on the cutting room floor that we didn't get to know about him.
I would agree. I think we kind of got this picture of him that he's just like a sex craze maniac. I will say I did find him come off maybe a little entitled in some parts of the season. And I feel like there's a lot of the internet stuff I've read, like, haven't been too big of fans of Blake. And I wouldn't say he was like my favorite person on the season, but I certainly like I liked him. I would hang out with him. I don't actively despise him, which is not always the case. I thought he was just like a fine dude. Like, I don't know. I'd give him like a 75 out of 100.
Okay, that's not bad. He did annoy me. I can't really put my finger on it. I think maybe it was just like his earnestness with Claire and not being able to read the situation really well.
Yeah.
And then I didn't like him at the beginning with Tayshia, where he's like, you have to be patient with me. That kind of was cringy to me. But I did like how he exited the show, which I think is really telling. He didn't put any pressure on her. He was like, you know, supporting her, and she was really emotional. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't like demanding, you know, why did you do this?
Yeah. But I think he knew. I think after that, he was like, okay, we don't have to play this up anymore. You know, whatever. I don't know. I did like him in this moment.
Mm-hmm. So then we see the guy sitting around waiting to see if he comes back or if someone comes to take his bag. And instead, Tayshia walks in. Seemed like it was a lot later in the night. But she was like, hey, like, we need to talk and I don't want to hurt anyone. And then like, is like, Riley, can we go talk? So not a good sign.
Could you believe it?
I mean, did she just not want to get rid of him at a rose ceremony? Like she wanted kind of that respect sort of thing. It just felt like we were trying to fast forward because normally before hometowns, we don't have eight people. It just felt like we were trying to kind of condense to like a smaller group.
Do you think she was told to cut somebody else?
No, I think it was her decision that she, maybe her reaction to Blake made her think like, okay, that was really hard. And it's going to be really hard with Riley too. So I don't want to just cut him at a rose ceremony. That was my read. What was yours?
It gave me some, mental callback to, Sarah on Sean Lowe's season.
Ooh, a deep cut.
Where Sean sat her down in Banff and was like, listen, I think you're really special. I think you deserve more than getting cut out at the rose ceremony. See you later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, this was much farther along.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell she just like wasn't feeling it as much with Riley as the others. And I think her knowing the type of guy that Riley is, he's a lawyer. He likes a lot of words. He likes to understand things. He likes to put reasoning behind actions. I think Tayshia sitting down in this moment and being able to have a conversation with him, where I feel like in the rose ceremony, if she's cutting, it ended up being cutting two guys, but it would have been three guys. Right. It just wouldn't have had that opportunity to give him honestly the respect he deserved. I don't like it sounds bad, but I don't think Noah and Bennett deserve the same.
Plus they have that kind of time.
Ending. Yeah,
she had that extra time with them, basically. Sure. Could have got rid of both of them last week. So yeah, I agree, it was good for her to have that conversation with him. And I was also thinking about kind of behind the scenes, like they need to get people's family here. So do you think they only brought in like the family that they knew were final four, and that these like this all these eliminations kind of happened with enough time to allow for that, or Tayshia kind of gave them the note, you know, the intel about who it should be? Or do you think there was like a survivor type family visit where there's someone that's just not getting called?
No, I think what maybe happened was They cut who needed to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
They took 4 or 5 days off from filming. They had everybody on standby. They brought out the people. They did their quarantine. They did their testing. Because Ethan was telling me that some places were, like, some productions were doing a testing or whatever, mm-hmm. where it was, like, over 4 or 5 days, and you would do 3 tests a day, and as long as all of those tests were negative, then you were good to go. So I wonder mm-hmm. if they did something like that with the mm-hmm. families, and just because when Tayshia said to Brendan, like, oh, I really missed you, like, I believed that. Like, it didn't make me think they had just seen each other, like, yesterday.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. And then we do the rose ceremony. We see Bennett arrive with kind of a smirk on his face. And he reveals that, you know, the guys were not happy to see him. And then he mentioned that he had a letter from Tayshia saying that his words meant a lot and she wanted him back after he visited her. What are the chances that this was a letter actually from Tayshia?
0.00%. Yeah. I liked when Bennett went to, like, condescendingly pat Zach on the shoulder, and Zach was like, dude, don't touch me. Like, who? No, stop.
Yeah, I thought Zach got along with everybody. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then Zach, telling. Like, hugged him at the end. So it's like, you guys must have been, like, cool enough. But
mm-hmm.
I think Zach was just heated in that moment. Like, I get that. I would too.
It really caused a lot of doubt with the guys that I think felt like, okay, I feel pretty secure that, you know, it's probably just Noah going home. But then to have that wrinkle, like someone else showing up, made everybody, especially it seemed like Zach and Ivan, got more nervous. Like, wait a minute, if she wants him back, it's for, like, is he stealing one of the spots? So was that his reason? Like, is that the reason the producers, like, allowed this to happen? It's just to kind of rattle the guys that felt.
I was just going to ask you, like, what was the point?
Right. What was the point?
What was the point?
It's funny because I did hear a little bit of the Ben and Ashley I podcast. And this is the only thing that really makes sense to me, is that Ben was like, Tayshia was probably just really tired. If she, like, agreed for Bennett to, like, come back then, or she agreed to send him home right then, she'd have to give, like, 2 hours of interviews after the fact. He's like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, if she just says, like, I'm going to sleep on it, then I'll eliminate him at the rose ceremony and I don't have to talk to him anymore.
Great. I love that.
Yeah. So Bennett and Noah get eliminated. Yeah, we could have gotten rid of them last week, but I think they wanted to keep also a little drama around, because I think the final four are all pretty, like, calm. You know.
I thought Noah was going to make it to hometowns. I really, was convinced of that.
Oh, who did you think was not making it?
Zach?
Okay. I could see that. Interesting. Yeah, I thought for sure he was going, and it was just kind of, like, pointless. But I don't know. We didn't see as much with them. One thing that really made me laugh this week, though, is, have you seen the meme going around of Bennett with an American Girl doll and showing that he has American Girl doll teeth? Were you an American Girl doll girl?
Sorry, do you want to repeat that?
Yeah. Did you see the meme going around? This is just a side note, but of Bennett next to an American Girl doll and showing that he has the exact same teeth as, like, Samantha or any of the American Girl dolls.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So American, now I can't unsee
dolls,
that.
Dolls, like, they were in my sphere because I don't know, I just knew what they were, but they weren't available to me, being a Canadian girl.
Are you serious? That must have changed now, right?
I don't know.
I've expanded. You've heard of North America?
Maybe. Like, I remember hearing about, like, American Girl doll stores and, like, the tea rooms and stuff, and I was always so jealous.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So, yeah, look that one up, everybody, if you're a fan of American Girl dolls, because he's got those two teeth sticking out, that expression, the blank expression. And then, of course, this was also a night where it was like, Tayshia knows what she wants to do, so she didn't even have to talk to any of these guys again.
Yeah, like, at this point in the season, let's not waste anyone's time.
Right. So she calls Zach, Ivan, and Brendan. Ben already had the rose. So then we have the Ben Talal on the second half of this episode.
Yeah, this was a pretty subdued mental all. I don't think there's a lot to come away with from it. I thought all of the guys came off pretty well, with one exception. I don't understand why we invited Yosef back. I think he said his piece. He was rude. He was condescending. He didn't give a shit that he knows what he said was not nice, but he's standing behind it because he's a fucking asshole. I don't know why we gave this guy any more screen time.
Right, he wasn't even on Tayshia's season, so no, that was especially weird.
The only good part about it was like how full of shit all the guys thought he was.
Right. I loved Riley's reaction. Like, that just had me, like, just the way he was like, he's a terrible person. Ladies, watch out for this man. It was just like, you could not sum it up better.
Yeah. And I also love Jason's reaction, like yelling at Chris Harrison. And then be like, sorry! Jason looked so good at the mental all.
Yeah, it was interesting that he was there too. Because he was on Tayshia's season and he left, but they didn't give him much time to talk about it. But he just, his reactions. I think he's somebody that they want to keep in the sphere. And if Paradise comes back, I could see him.
Yeah.
For sure. There were some notable people missing, I feel like. What did you think?
I agree, but I didn't miss them, to be honest with you. I'm happy we got this like little condensed version. I'm not a fan of Jason. Like, he came wearing a camo blazer over a hoodie. Like, what?
Kenny.
Whatever. Yeah, that's what I meant. Kenny. Mm-hmm. He was also kind of rude. I thought, oh my God, who just got kicked off? Bennett and Noah. I thought Noah came off really well. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was under fire. And he handled it really well. When Bennett, as like one final day, gave him a sippy cup of green juice, he was like, I don't know, to be mad or excited. Like, this is delicious. I'm having a great time. Yeah, that was
a great reaction. I could
see it makes Bennett look
going the wrong. Yeah, I could see it going a totally different way. Like, who was it that gave somebody a pacifier, you know, at a past women tell all? Like, just the fact that he just like shrugged everything off, I thought was great. Chasen, Spencer, Easy, and Joe were like the four that I thought like was kind of surprised they weren't there, weren't invited.
Joe was there.
I don't think he was.
Which one's Joe?
The anesthesiologist.
Oh, right. I was thinking Ed. Yeah. No, I was disappointed there. Chasen, don't care. I don't think we are missing that much by those guys not being there, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And it's also earlier than it normally would be. Like, we didn't see anything from like the fourth place, third place person. So it was a little like there wasn't much that they could really talk about. So I think that's why they brought Yosef, to have some kind of villain there. But they should not have given him any more airtime. And even Chris Harrison was trying to give him like an out and he wouldn't take it. Like, he stands by and says that he would be happy if someone said that to his daughter as well, if she was in the wrong. So horrible. Yikes,
no, you wouldn't. So we're at 9:26 Eastern Standard Time. Is there anything else you have to say about this?
I thought the bloopers were lame.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the Tuesday episode.
All right. Yeah. So the La Quinta hometowns, Chris kind of comes in and gives them like a, hey, this is who's coming to your hometown. So something different, because usually it's the guys being like, this is who you're going to meet. But I guess they wouldn't know who got flown out, who passed the COVID test. So it was kind of like Chris in like a Jeff Probst sort of role here with the emotional reveal. What did you think about that switch?
What did I think about that? I was fine with it. I don't know. I like all the guys being together in this. I think that these guys all genuinely like each other, which is nice and different.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like last season, the three women being in one suite for the fantasy suites just to mess with Maddie, that felt like pretty gross. This felt like obviously it's circumstances, but it felt very supportive. Like, you know, when I think Brendan was crying, they were kind of like comforting him, and you know, it was not that bad.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that same kind of environment. I And I think they just kind of work together to, like, it doesn't make sense to separate them at this point. They've all been living at the same place. So they're not going to be, I think. But when they did, like, for the rose ceremony, they kind of all came in separately, like kind of typical fashion, like as if they had flown in from their hometown. So the show's doing their best to try to, like, recreate, like, the typical scenes that you would see. I thought it was interesting, Ben's reaction. I didn't know that he didn't know how to cry, but that was kind of revealed to Chris Harrison there, that, like, I would cry if I could. So I was kind of surprised that wasn't a story earlier on.
So I just recently made Ethan watch The Holiday. And a big part of that was that Cameron Diaz's character couldn't cry.
Right.
So that felt very like, oh, am I watching The Holiday right now?
But then we need that, like, cathartic scene later on. Are we ever going to see that from Ben in Paradise, maybe?
No, because I just don't think it's him. I don't know. I just, and that's fine. It's just not his style.
Yeah. And then we also learned that, I think this is the first time we learned that Brendan's dad passed away, and that his brother is, like, a father figure to him, because he had a really emotional, he started crying, and I thought that, like, made me tear up a little bit.
Me too. I really like Brendan.
Yeah.
I just, how excited Tayshia was to see him. She just doesn't have that kind of joy with the other guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just kind of like a sleeper, but at the same time, every time you see them together, you're like, okay, this makes sense. And he had the first hometown date. Do you know that what town he's from? Is it Rhode Island or Massachusetts somewhere?
I think it's somewhere in Massachusetts.
Okay, so a small town, he said. And one of the things he likes to do, he was like, even as a 30-year-old, I like to go to these, like, street fairs. And so they had, like, a little carnival set up. And I thought it was super cute. And then his niece showed up as well.
I was pretty happy that the niece showed up. I thought it was just really fun. I think Tayshia's into that kind of thing. So it was lovely.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like an elementary school carnival, but they made it work. I think having the niece there, then, like, she's going to have fun. And so they made it fun. And then, like, the handshake thing, I thought it was just really charming to see him in that light. So yeah, I was really, like, smiling through that whole episode, that whole segment, his date. And I also thought his family was, like, one of the most supportive hometown dates we've ever seen. Like, there was no, like, are you here for the right reasons? Or, like, are you serious about this kind of thing? Like, no, maybe
no it's qualms because at
of,
all.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's because of the sibling thing, but, that's kind of like a family that I could see, like, Tayshia feeling really comfortable with. So yeah, I don't think she came away, actually she said something like, I feel like it's almost game over at this point. So that was kind of an interesting comment, because I think after her one-on-one date, didn't she say something like that too, like, I could see him as my husband? And we were kind of like, oh, don't pull a Claire yet. Then we had Zach's date. I have in my notes, I love Tayshia's dress for this.
Oh, me too. Like,
oh, so cute.
I felt so bad for them with how hot it was.
Yeah, not the best time to, like, pretend you're on a New York City street scene, but the backdrop was pretty impressive. What did you think of the bagel spread?
I am famously not the biggest fan of bagels.
Okay.
But I thought it was fun. Like, I would have had a good time doing that. I support Tayshia's choice of blueberries on plain cream cheese.
Yeah, I like the savory mix of sweet. So I agree. That was a cute little argument. So did you like their little taxi that they had?
Oh, so cute. You know what? I loved all four of these dates. I thought they were just, like, super fun and cute, and, like, just having an idea of what they think their hometown is. And I don't know. I thought it was really fun.
I like to think of, like, the art department having fun together, like, being like, okay, what can we make? Like, stuff they would normally not have to do. So brings out their creativity. The pizza didn't look that appetizing. So I think bagels was smart, but maybe not go for the pizza right after that. But it was cute. And then they got back to her fountain, and they had some kind of scene that we've never really seen. I'm surprised we haven't seen this at the Bachelor Mansion fountain, but they actually crawled into the fountain and made out there.
If I was in that kind of heat, I think I would also make out smart. In the fountain.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty steamy. And then met Zach's family. What did you think about his family? Because he was so excited to see them and to introduce Tayshia to them.
I liked all of the families, honestly. I thought Zach's family was probably the toughest, but I don't think they were tough by our usual standards.
Yeah, one thing that kind of stood out to me is like, okay, these guys are for the most part older. So the parents are older, and I think they just trust their children's decisions more. And I think, especially with his family, they were just so excited that he had kind of turned a corner in terms of like what he envisioned for his future. But I think they would be totally fine if, not totally fine, but I think his mom expressed something like she was so happy what Tayshia did for him to see that he wants a family and wants to be married, that even if he doesn't end up with her, it's like, hey, she opened his eyes to this, that he could want that. So yeah. I liked how the dad is like, I'm from a small town and I don't know if I'd want to be one of these four guys. Like, I don't want to compete. So that was cute. The brother was like, I think the toughest, like, hey, you didn't answer my question. He was kind of grilling her a little bit, but
he wasn't wrong.
Exactly. He was just stating facts. And then they were the family that was super excited to meet Chris Harrison. They showed that. Did you see that last segment at the end of the show?
That was so cute.
Yeah. I think Chris is having fun. He's so relaxed.
Chris has never had so much fun in a season.
Post-quarantine, are they even going to go back to traveling? Are they just going to be like, hey, let's just like create a bachelor resort in the off season. We'll like send people there and make money off of that.
What's the point? This has honestly been one of my favorite seasons in a long time. And I'm not like you and I, we love the travel bit, but I'm not really missing it that much.
Yeah. I think they could go back to their kind of their low key of like staying in California, maybe just going to hometowns or, you know, bringing people. But I think they're gonna be like, yeah, we'll just bring people in and we don't need to go to Indiana or wherever. So yeah, they made do, and yeah, it's better than I predicted. Then we have Ivan's date. So he planned a cooking date. I thought that was really cute. He had this video from his niece. Like he said something like, I'm actually friends with the top Filipino chef. And I knew, like, I'd seen like, oh, there's someone from Top Chef to be on. And I was like, oh, I wonder who he's friends with. Like, I thought that was like tied to Ben's date, but it was his niece. It was so cute.
I thought it was really cute. Yeah. I was like, oh, they already have Antonio coming. Like, who else do they have?
Right. And then it kind of brought back, I was like, oh yeah, his like really like serious story about his brother. And that was the daughter that his brother had when he was in prison. And we heard Ivan say a lot, like, I wish, you know, I'm like excited to see my parents, but I really wish my brother was here. Did you get any hints that the brother was going to show up? Or was it a surprise?
Well, I just watched the episode tonight, so I did know that the brother was coming.
Okay.
But I didn't expect it was going to be a surprise for him.
Right. Okay. So it was only like a split second before where I'm like, wait a minute, this is the second time I think that he's saying this kind of same thing. Like it would have been really great if my brother was here. That then it like was like, okay, I could see them like bringing him in. I wasn't sure about his brother's situation, if he was out of prison or not. So I thought that was a really cool surprise that he was just like in a back room, showed up for a later portion. And this was just like really revealing, I felt like, with to see Ivan and his brother's relationship. What did you think?
I thought so too. I didn't expect them to be so different.
Right.
But I love how much they love each other, and that's so obvious. Ivan is just a good dude. I don't know if he's my favorite person for Tayshia to end up with. But I think he's just a solid guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked his family. And just that we could really get to know, like, it just seemed like, yeah, I don't know that they have like the most chemistry, like compared to even like her and Ben, you know? But like the way he is with his family and how it does kind of parallel her family, like her dad is so protective, and I felt like his dad was like a little protective, and but it was also really kind and was like comparing about like revealing about his divorce, his that he was like, well, I was married before too, and I just, and his mom was so cute.
I loved his mom.
Yeah, my favorite I think was when she was like, he was like talking about like, well, next week is fantasy suites, and she's like, yeah, if she picks you, and he's like, oh, she's gonna pick me.
They were just, they, you know, and I loved kind of the conversation they were having about, you know, the brother was like, hey, like, I, you know, I'm so glad that you guys, you know, were there for me, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, his mom was like, we're family. Like, that's what we're for. That's what we do.
Yeah. And the other thing that stood out to me that I think with these dates is like, Tayshia was, we've talked about how great she is as a lead, but it was so evident here with like all these different families. And it seemed like so seamless, like she was so at ease, even if she's, you know, she talked about she was a little nervous to meet his family because they hadn't met, they'd only met like one other girlfriend, but like she just could like match everybody's energy, and she could answer every question, and she didn't get like nervous. She just was like such a pro, but like so genuine. I was like, I'd be so nervous like meeting all these different people in these like in quick succession. And yeah, she just seemed like everybody fell in love with her.
Yeah. And I think the quality of guys who are here at the end is a testament to Tayshia herself.
Good point. Like she's picking, like there's no drama with the remaining guys. Like she's picked guys that are, at least that we can see, you know, like she's really
she's solid,
like, evaluating
and she's
them.
Picking solid guys.
Yeah. The last date was with Ben. So a little bit different family situation. It was his sister and, well, first they had their Venice Beach date. So he said he was born and raised in Indiana, like the other Ben, the Ben Bachelor lead, Ben Higgins, but Venice is where he feels most at home. So they did kind of the boardwalk, and I was pretty
very
impressed
cute.
With
I
those.
Love this. I love the kind of letters and everything.
The like the little store looked really authentic in terms of like the beach merchandise. The caricature was a little weak, but you know, I don't know what artists they could get last minute. So but it was cute. It like gave the vibe. The one thing I'll say, it was a little similar to their other one-on-one date when they had the scooters. Now they had rollerblading. So that was the one thing where I was like, okay, or sitting at the pool is not that exciting. But I thought they did it was cute. And then yeah, so it was his sister and he said a close family friend, which I'd love to have you weigh in on because it wasn't revealed in the episode, but I saw on social media that she is famous from Top Chef.
Amy, when I tell you I lost my mind when I saw in the preview Antonio Lofaso was on this episode, I died. I paused it, rewound. I called Ethan. I like screamed for Ethan to like, I was like, come here.
This is the crossover you've been waiting for. You didn't know you needed.
I knew I needed it. This is what I commented on. I think it was the Top Chef Instagram account today because they had a picture of her, you know, being like, oh, like anyone catch Antonia on The Bachelorette? Like, this is a crossover. Mm-hmm. You didn't know you needed it. I was like, no. I know I needed it. I just didn't think I was ever going to get it. It was a thrill for me. I love Antonio or Antonia. I love you too, Antonio Mazzaro.
Yeah.
one of my top chef.
If you're listening. Yeah.
And then that means that I'm like 2 degrees of separation from our friend Ben. I would even say 1 degree of separation.
Oh my goodness.
Because I am friends. And I will say we're friends. Sorry, Brooke, if you're listening. I know she's not listening. With Brooke Williamson, also from Top Chef. And I'm pretty sure that Brooke and Antonia both work out at Ben's gym.
Oh, really?
And Brooke knows Ben.
Wow.
So I know Ben as well.
Yeah.
We're saying. Brooke has been on the Top Chef podcast a couple of times. She's truly a thrill every time. Anyways, it was so wild to me that they weren't even like addressing that she's famous or like
Right.
Like the most famous person who's ever appeared on The Bachelor. No, I'm just kidding. That's extreme, but.
Or how they know each other.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, yeah. I was curious about, but. Yeah, and I thought their conversation was really cute. It was like the most rom-com-y thing, but I heard some people say, like, I think it was Becca's podcast, they thought it was rehearsed, but to me, it didn't feel rehearsed.
No, that is, to me, how Antonia speaks.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not, that didn't feel like out of character for her.
Yeah, it felt like that friend coming in being like, because Ben just like rattled off all this stuff about her. Like, this is how I feel when I'm with her. And she's like, you love her. And he's like,
the look on his face when he realized that.
Yeah. I love her. It was so rom-com-y, but like, we live for rom-com. So I like that moment. I thought his sister was cool too. Like, she just seemed like
down to earth.
She got along and like, she was so excited to be there. Seemed really excited for, Ben, do you think they knew coming in that Tayshia was the Bachelorette? Do you think all these families like saw the rumors going around?
I would think so. If your loved one was on the Bachelorette, wouldn't you like be refreshing reality, Steve?
Yeah, probably. Or at least Us Weekly, right? So
yeah.
Speaking of reality, Steve, one of the news items I saw, Tayshia's ex-husband did an interview, and
I mean, who gives a shit about that dude?
Exactly. Honestly. It was basically like, from the talking points I saw, it was like, yeah, I cheated on her, but like, she wasn't giving me everything I needed. So like, there's two sides to the story.
Oh, fuck you. Seriously.
Yeah. Or it was only a one time. It wasn't like an ongoing thing that she made it seem like.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So like, it's like, why would you think it was a good idea to even have this interview? Like,
oh,
why?
My gosh.
It doesn't make you look better, dude. Anyway, and then the second half of his podcast was with Memphis Garrett's ex-girlfriend.
Oh,
so if you're interested in that, yeah.
I'm not. Don't say you have to listen.
Yeah. So, anyway, like, he revealed to Antonia that he loves her. He's like, has that realization. It's like, I have to tell her. And then they have their little, he and Tayshia have their end moment at the end of the night. And he basically just is like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling good about where we are. So
Yeah. Was
that like the kiss of death? Was it just like they weren't as strong as the other three? Or I couldn't quite follow, like, if that was the reason why she got rid of him, or if it was just that they weren't as strong as the others. Like, I was expecting him to go through, and maybe he was feeling confident that he thought, like, I can just say this next week. I kind of missed, because we've seen him miss his moment before. Like, he didn't take the time to talk to her on that group date. So you would think he would seize the moment this time.
Yeah, but I feel like Ben gets so stuck in his own head. And I think we saw that at the end. Mm-hmm. But I don't blame him. I feel like he's a guy who's been stuck in his head a lot for a long time. And when he's, you know, under pressure, it doesn't always work out well for him.
Yeah. And for past seasons, it's kind of unheard of to not like at least say like, I think I'm falling for you by hometowns, but this is a really condensed season. So it really stood out to me that like, we're at hometowns and all these guys have only had one one-on-one date before this. Usually like at least some of the guys have two by then. Nobody got a double one-on-one, right? That I can recall.
No. But there also just wasn't enough time either, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, okay, why he probably isn't ready to say it right now, timing wise, but it was a case of too little too late because he does end up being the one eliminated. Did that shock you as well? Or were you thinking that he was on his way out?
I don't know. I didn't think he was on his way out. I think they were just still building.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you about some Top Chef lore.
Sure.
Antonia was on season 4 of Top Chef, and she was on Top Chef All Stars.
Okay.
And her nickname was the Black Hammer, because whenever somebody was on a team with Antonia, they went home.
Oh, no.
So I
she brought it here.
So I think Ben was a classic case of the Black Hammer.
Interesting. Yeah. It translates to other reality shows. I wonder, too, I was thinking to myself, like, okay, let's say Tayshia, usually they say by this point, the lead knows who their, like, top two are, probably. So if Ben's not in the mix, is it easier to say goodbye to somebody where you met their sister and their friend rather than somebody whose parents you met and got their like that part of the family involved?
I would say maybe, but the way Ben talked about his sister, I don't think Tayshia takes meeting her lightly.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, and I was kind of surprised we didn't see a scene with Ben and his sister kind of revealing like, hey, like this is what I revealed to Tayshia, but they probably didn't have time for that. I was curious if we were going to get that because he had said like she saved his life, but she didn't even know like the extent of it. So she calls at the rose ceremony. Ivan first, then Zach, and I was worried for Brendan at that point, and then Brendan. And so it was a little weird, like the reaction I felt like when Ben left. I mean, I know he says he doesn't cry, but he was just like, I'll be all right. I don't know. Did that seem really callous to you?
It didn't, because I, Haley Strong, am surrounded by men who have a really hard time showing emotion, not just in like a toxic masculinity way, but in a way where it's they just don't really know how to get how they're feeling across and will just pretend like everything's fine or that they aren't that hurt to kind of cover. But I really think Ben was in shock and he didn't
I didn't feel like Ben was trying to be mean or callous.
I think he was just like, he was so shocked.
Yeah.
That he didn't know what to do.
In the car, he was like, I'm still in love with her. I don't know what to do. And so in the moment with her, like maybe that, like, I'll be okay, like, was kind of trying to reassure her and reassure himself. Like, he did say, I'm heartbroken, but I'll be okay. But it wasn't like trying to, like, didn't say anything like, don't worry about me, or he didn't say like why. It was just kind of like, yeah, that shock moment. But I think for Tayshia, she seemed really hurt by that reaction. Like, she didn't get to see what he was saying in the car.
Sure,
like, but give me something.
It makes, I feel, and maybe this is different, but I feel like if she would have seen Joe on Caitlin's season, she would have felt better about what Ben was doing. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Joe's so rude, and I feel like Ben was not. I feel like he was just truly shocked and didn't know how to really, come back from that.
Speaking of coming back, do you think he will come back?
No.
Usually around Fantasy Suites, we see that's like another move that can happen, and he doesn't have far to travel, right? So
no, but I feel like Ben is proud. Mm. He's just not the type of guy to I don't know, do something like that.
Yeah, the only reason I think it's a possibility is just the fact that it's like he didn't say, but I guess Bennett already proved that, like, did that move, like, but to be like, well, I didn't get to tell you this, and I don't know, I just want to say it before I head out of here, kind of thing. But yeah, maybe he'll want to protect himself a little more from that, and I haven't seen anything hinting that in the previews, so I feel like they would do that if he was. So
I just feel like Ben's not here for the drama of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so Fantasy Suites looks like we're going to have at least one Airstream trailer. I couldn't tell what the other situations were, but they are bringing in something a little different for at least one of the guys. Are you excited with this final three?
Yeah, I think this, like, even the final four was just incredibly solid. I don't know if we've ever had a better final four. I love the final three. I think we got questions about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been
a better final four? I would be so satisfied with any outcome here. I mean, I would be most satisfied with Brendan winning. But yeah. I'm thrilled with all of these guys.
Yeah, I just think they're the most, like, I don't know if it's just they like seem the most natural together or they just make sense together kind of thing. But yeah, I would agree. But I don't think she can really go wrong. So let's go into questions. This is, let me see, an email from George. Okay, he has a lot of questions. He says, hey, Amy and Haley, I've been intrigued by an unknown in Matt James being the next Bachelor for a while. But now that this season is ending, I'm bummed that neither Ivan or Brendan will be the next lead. I'm not ready to see one or both of them get heartbroken. Do you have any similar thoughts? Could we still see one of them as a lead in the future? I feel like all this final four would have lead potential if this was a typical season. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think Riley in the Mental All made a case to mm-hmm. to be the Bachelor. I feel like maybe Riley isn't fun enough for the Bachelor. Where
she's
I feel
serious.
Like, yeah, where like Ivan does have that fun side to him. I think Tayshia brings it out. I would say maybe Ben would have a hard time being the Bachelor. Breaking up with people or being able to explain why or, you know, be able to get his feelings out there.
Yeah, I don't think they want a lead that doesn't cry. So,
or maybe that would be his, like, tagline.
It's a story, yeah. But I think they'd be upset if he, like, never could cry. Yeah. Let's see. Then we have... oh, that question was from Dan. I was reading, like, ahead of myself. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't separate it very well.
Sorry, Dan. This is from George. I know it's all manipulated by production, but should the guys feel upset over Tayshia visiting them after sending Blake home so she could let Riley go, but while she was there telling them how emotional the process is, she didn't inform them that she asked Bennett to stay. It seems like she could have told them instead of having Bennett walk in on them the next day.
That's a good point. I don't know.
I think she probably wasn't allowed to.
Yeah, and I think she was maybe so focused on the Riley thing that she didn't really think about the Bennett thing. Because at this point, it's like she doesn't care about Bennett.
Yeah. Also, she was so hurt by having to let Blake go and then letting Riley go. But then she had Bennett come back for the rose ceremony only to let him go again. What was the point of her doing that? My sister-in-law is certain she did that on purpose to Bennett.
Did she, like, I don't know. I feel like she's like, I don't care about Bennett.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she didn't really care how he left. Just, yeah. And then when did the Mental All take place? I'm thinking a day or so after the prior rose ceremony during filming of the season. Were all the guys at the Mental All still sequestered at the resort? So I actually did hear that it was actually filmed. It made it look like it was filmed at La Quinta. So at first I was like, oh yeah, they're probably just there a couple days later and they kept these guys. But yeah. I heard it was filmed at Nema Collin, where Matt James' season is.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
So they flew the guys out there. So it actually was. I thought it was weird. I was like, why is Chris saying, you know, like, oh, this was a crazy summer. I'm like, yeah, aren't you still in this crazy summer? Like, I was like, oh, he's doing a good job of like setting it back. But so I guess that would impact who they chose to invite. But it also was strange to me, like, oh, I thought maybe like some of these guys were like, no, I'm not sticking around at La Quinta. But no, they were invited to go out to quarantine in Pennsylvania.
I'm really surprised, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Impressive, right? Like, so I'm glad that they did like some kind of muted Mental All. I think it shows that they could just kind of do this down the line as well. Like just have an hour for men or women tell all. Just don't bring everybody back. Like, let's just talk to the people we want to talk to. We don't need to have a live audience. I didn't miss that at all.
Nope.
So
I really think that production has done such an amazing job with this season. And it's been one of my favorite seasons in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just because I'm so like deprived of joy right now.
Yeah.
But I've
there's some of the changes have been good. for sure. And then George wants us to ding, marry, kill, plus some fourth option. What would be a fourth option? Okay, if you're going to ding, marry, how about ding, marry, date, or kill? Okay. The four hometown date activities: carnival games, cooking, playing Fred Flintstone with a taxi cutout. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. And then going to the boardwalk and the ocean.
I really loved these dates. I thought mm-hmm. they did a really great job. I love that they showed like a piece of their hometown kind of in such a weird little way. I am marrying cooking. Dating boardwalk ocean.
Okay.
Dinging playing Fred Flintstone and killing carnival games, I guess. Although I do love novelty sized stuffed animals.
Yeah. I'm probably dinging the carnival games, dinging or dating the carnival games, and killing the taxi.
It does seem like a lot of work, and it was very hot.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think marrying cooking makes sense because you always get some good food. And then, yeah, I'd probably date the boardwalk. I've never hailed a cab. Can either of you give me tips or pointers? And what's the chance you ever make out in a fountain?
Listen, I would make out in a fountain, I think. If nobody else was around and there was like no security cameras.
It looks sanitary.
Yeah, like I'm not that against it.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds kind of fun. Chances anytime soon? Probably not.
No, probably not making out with anyone anytime soon.
Exactly. Cabs, I have. I usually try to like rely on whoever I'm with to do it though, because just not my, like, it just feels weird to me.
I can do it.
Nice.
It's probably no surprise that I like getting attention from people. So when I can hail a cab, that makes me feel good.
Awesome. And you, it's a skill you'd need if you were to ever go on the Amazing Race too, yes. Right? Based on the final three of Brendan, Ivan, and Zach, who will she select next week? Oh, so like, who are we thinking final two? And then if
Brendan
the next
and Ivan?
Brendan
what do you
and
think?
Ivan? I think Brendan and Zach.
Yeah, she seems really into Zach. Worried.
Yeah. And we learned this episode that she wanted to move to New York, which I always picture her as like a California girl. But it seemed like she really liked that idea. She had some quote like, it's crazy, I think, like living with Zach in New York, like I just would be happy. So that was a little interesting too. Whereas we've seen, like, I'm thinking of Becca Kufrin's season where she had Jason and she eliminated him because she couldn't really picture like living in Seattle. Like that seemed like that like threw her when he was talking about his life. So I think that's a big one to like kind of picture. But again, I don't know where Ivan lives. I don't think that, like, he didn't do anything in his hometown that was about the town that I remember.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, and then, let's see. If the next Bachelor hadn't already been selected, who from this season would be your front runner?
Ivan, I think.
Yeah, he'd be really good. I think Brendan would be good because, I don't know, I just like his family. Seems like, I don't know. I like his Instagram.
He's just also like so good looking. I love to look at Brendan. Oh my God. He's so cute.
He is. And it's like in an unconventional way. So it's like that kind of cute where you're like, yeah, do other people find him cute? Or is it just me? And it's like, no, everybody does. But it's not like the typical guy that they would pick. Lisa Buzzforth, how disappointed were you when Ben did not cry at the end? The edit really set us up for disappointment.
I also thought the edit was setting us up for him to cry and he didn't. And I'm kind of glad he didn't play into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why show us that otherwise? Deidre Lipsticus, on a scale of zero to never, how much were you expecting Chef Antonia frickin' LaFaso to show up on The Bachelorette?
Truly never. What an absolute joy for me personally, though.
Yeah. Are you still doing Top Chef? Is there Top Chef going on right now? Like, is this something you can talk about on an upcoming podcast?
No, we like Top Chef just finished filming. So we can expect to see it in, maybe spring, hopefully. That would be nice. You know, reality TV turnaround's happening quickly these days.
Do any of your other co-hosts watch The Bachelor at all?
No.
Anybody else excited about that?
Maybe Mike watches it, maybe.
Yeah. Justin Feinberg, are the rumors spoken of on Monday's episode of The Bachelor true? Do Canadians rise to the occasion? Oh, we you didn't talk
me,
about
you
Blake's
tell me,
moment.
Amy.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say I would have personal experience. Blake, what do you think? Did he actually have a boner with the when she was like, what was she doing? Like testing his chakras? Or was that just a convenient black box that the producers put in there?
I think it was just a convenient and rude black box.
Yeah. And also, do you call your mom mum? Because I think he did. But is that a Canadian thing?
I call my mom mother.
Mother. Oh, that's a new one.
Mother, my mother and my father. Hello, mother. What are you doing today, mother?
And then Justin also wants to know, who's a bigger Bachelor superfan, Zach's mom or James S., the Bachelor superfan from JoJo's season?
Boy, did I love the end cap with his mom freaking out.
Yeah, she wasn't the one I would expect to be like the superfan. So they had to plan that, right? Like they were all talking about like, yeah, like, would we ever get to meet Chris? But then Chris said something like when he was talking to the guys, like, oh, Ivan, I love your mom. So did he meet some of them before? He must have. Maybe it's all about like where you're quarantining at the resort or something. Like if you're close to, if you're neighbors with Chris Harrison or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Zach's mom, since I had totally forgotten that James S. existed. They couldn't really do Bachelor Superfan as a title anymore because I feel like a lot of people that come on the show now are super fans. Lisa Buzzforth, do you think Tayshia is fun? She's clearly beautiful, kind, smart, a good listener, and very open about her feelings. But would you like to have a drink with her?
Yeah, I think she's fun.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's really poised. So maybe that's where, but like you see her fun side with like Brendan's niece and like dancing with Brendan. And yeah, I think she seems fun, but I can kind of see where that question is coming from. Justin Feinberg, how excited are you to go from the oppressive 110 degree Fahrenheit heat of Palm Springs this season to the cooler, more rustic 70 degree Fahrenheit weather of southwestern Pennsylvania for Matt James season next month? By which I mean, how excited are you to not have to watch beads of sweat pouring down people's faces in the middle of a makeout session?
That's going to be nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so when did they film?
In
Pennsylvania.
I think they just finished
in November.
Yeah.
So they must have had some cooler days, right?
In Pennsylvania, 70, for sure.
Yeah. 70 is still pretty warm. I think it looks like they put a little more effort. I mean, they had more like brain power behind Matt James season. I know I've heard like The Bachelor just in general is like the stronger show ratings wise. So maybe that's part of it. But, you know, they, I think, tested different concepts out and looks like they have like more impressive dates coming up for his season. And the resort looks more like, kind of reminds me of Emily Maynard's season. Like it kind of had that look of like a grand estate instead of like that paradise feel that this one had.
Yeah.
And then Josh Creek wants to know, does getting Ben to realize he loves Tayshia rank amongst Antonia's best quickfire challenges?
I think that's definitely a good one.
And then also, according to Bachelor Party, Ben is also good friends with Brooke Williamson, like you said.
Yeah.
Jessica Campin, would Haley have chosen Ben on the spot when she found out his family friend was Antonia LaFaso? And how shocking was it after that reveal, Ben was eliminated?
It's so cute that you think I wouldn't immediately immediately leave Ben for Antonia.
Yeah.
Is exactly what I would do.
Do you think he like could reveal that at all to her? Like, did Tayshia have any clue? Or was she just like, who's this person?
I feel like it's a who's this person moment.
Yes, I don't think Chris even mentioned it. He was like, Ben, your sister's here. So yeah, I thought that was a little like, that could have been a good selling point if she had was clued in at all. So we also have draft results.
Ooh, do tell.
All right. So George says it's hometown week. We have point updates for the Rapture draft. Amy stays in the lead with 92, but is only down to Zach. Haley is close with 77, with Brendan and Ivan remaining. The winner will likely come down to who Tayshia gives the final rose. So yeah, it's pretty close. We're going to get those fantasy sweet points. So yeah, it'll probably be easy for you to catch up with me next week.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to do like the Andy Dorfman move and get rid of somebody and not take them to the fantasy suites? Or are they all like, hey, we just need alone time because we really don't know each other. I'm going to take this with everybody.
What a good question.
Seeing as how like...
No, with... I think she's going to go with everybody.
Yeah. I think so too. But yeah, it's just such an atypical season that maybe it would be like, I don't know where they're going to take them. Like maybe she's like, okay, I don't want to do another night of this, or I do because I want some like variety in my, in my dates. So, something to look forward to. I don't really know. Nothing really stood out to me in the previews, like, except like her dad is getting like questioning things. So, or seems like he'll be a little tough on the guys, but other than that, anything else that you have, do you have takes from Doug or?
Yes, I do. Thank you for reminding me. I almost
forgot that.
When Blake said, this isn't my type of thing, does he expect us to believe that they don't have regular Reiki healing sessions at the dump? I feel so ripped off by the lack of hometowns. Why did the producers not recreate the FBI field office in Brendan's hometown or the community sidewalk sale in Zach's hometown? Also, how come Ben was just able to switch his hometown? I want to know about Indiana.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was from Indiana.
Do you want to know more about Indiana? Like, I am happy with the amount of Indiana I know about.
I think they were like, well, what can we really, like, if we were in Indiana, we would have done a Ben Higgins type date, go to your high school. So I think they were like, we can actually do Venice. But I think that too, I think maybe like she wasn't excited about like, hey, I already like, she talked about like, I know these like guys, like she's from that area. So she's from Orange County. So I'm sure she's been to Venice quite a bit and has met guys like Ben before and maybe was like, looking for something different. I don't know.
Who was a better father figure? Clarence, because he had wise advice and sounded like Morgan Freeman, or Douglas, because he has a great name and looks like a non-sleazy massage parlor version of Robert Kraft? I love both of them.
Yeah.
Big fan. Not much else really to say. My dad watched with me, but he was just pumped. Monday episode ended early so he could watch Antique Roadshow. Also, he appreciated Tayshia's pace of eliminating someone every few minutes.
Yeah, that kept it. Yeah, kept it going. I do see that we had the person who asked if this is the most likable final four we've ever seen at Matt Schmaltzer on Twitter said, question for the pod, is this the most likable final four we've ever had on any Bachelor Bachelorette season? Can you think of any?
No, kind of rival. No. Usually like 75% of it is shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes 100% is shit.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like maybe those seasons where like the Bachelor, Bachelorette came from like final three, final four, then that was probably an indication of a stronger season, or it could be an indication of a weaker season because they had to go down to, I think Ben Higgins, like top three were strong, like Kayla, and I can't think of who was fourth. Was it Amanda? That was probably maybe the only one that I would say is like similar, where we were like liked everybody or thought they could be good for him. But yeah, in terms of the guys, definitely not. Like, this is the best for us. We're always like,
we always hate the guys.
We always hate them. And there's like just one that we could see working out with. So yeah.
Like, compare this to JoJo's final four.
That will always be like the worst, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's everything. Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_.
And you can find me at RGP Recapper on Twitter. All right. Thanks for listening. We will be back. It's the finale next week. So that's crazy. But we will be back.
It's not so, man. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. And apparently the bios are already out for Matt James season. So we have like to think about draft competitors. No, I think we can do a draft.
So. Yeah. And then didn't, excuse me, didn't Chris Harrison
do a video? Thing? Yeah, he did like one of those preview videos. I don't think I even watched it for this season of the guys because we weren't during a draft. But yeah, I think he did something on Facebook Live where he talked about the women. So if you're interested in that, check that out. We have to do some planning, Haley. Because it's coming up quick.
It's coming up real quick. You know what? We don't usually decide who is drafting with us until about a week from now anyway.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to think about this. But yeah, we'll just keep plugging away. We get 1 week off, I think. And, you know, we have nothing better to do. So we're excited.
Can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.